Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this evening. This is a forum for folks who are interested in connecting with your intuition, your intuitive process, your insight, your imagination, bringing that from the unconscious to the conscious realm so that you can create the life of your dreams, the life that you're meant to live and connect with your vocation and your highest energies. So if those are topics that interest you, you are definitely in the right place. I encourage you to share your picture with Inner Voice so we know that you're following the show and that you can get updates in the upcoming future about what is coming up on Inner Voice. I do want to let you know next week, next Tuesday between 7 and 8, Brad Tesh will be on the show. Brad Tesh is an intuitive practitioner, a wonderful tarot card reader. I had the opportunity to be able to be read by him. What a wonderful experience. And he is doing a show with Mary Nail and Bonnie Chavez called Sessions once a month. So check that out, Tuesdays between 7 and 8. And with no further ado, I hope to be introducing my guest tonight, Rick DiClemente. Are you there, Rick? Hang on. Blog Talk has been having some issues recently, and maybe a little harder to get Rick on than I had intentionally thought. So just bear with me, and we will see what we can do here. I know he's really excited to be on the show this evening, and I'm going to try and get him on again. So here we go. Hi, Rick. Are you there? Well, let me see what I can do here. I have dear friends who are on Sunday, who I'm often on with, who have had a really difficult time on Blog Talk recently. So we will see what can occur, what does occur here, because folks have been having a difficult time on Blog Talk recently. So hopefully, knock on wood, we'll be able to get Rick on. And I'm really looking forward to sharing the hour with him. For folks who are not familiar with Rick DiClemente, he is an archetypal astrologer extraordinaire. He just wrote a book called The Exquisite Zodiac. If we do get him on tonight, which I really hope we do, he will be sharing an hour of looking at my personal chart, which he offered the last time he was on the show, to check out my solar return. It's my birthday today, and so he said he would offer an hour consultation with me. So I'm very excited to receive this, and I'm going to try once more to get him on. Hi, Rick. Are you there?
I tried again.
Yay!
Yeah. All right. I hung up and I dialed back in. Yay, hello.
Good for you. Hello, Blog Talk has been having a really heck of a time recently. So
that's the plan. That's the plan.
That's the plan.
It's not you.
I didn't take it personally. How are you doing this evening, Rick?
I'm doing very well. I've been studying your chart, and we have a lot to talk about. And my intention is to show people, you know, beside the fact that your birthday's in a couple of days and a lot about your chart, to show them how a reading is done, because people really don't have any idea how, most people, how complex a chart is and how a chart, how one Leo is just so different from other Leos. And I think that they'll learn a lot.
Right, yeah, I'm really, really excited. You know, my birthday is today, Rick.
Well, the 8th.
August 6th?
Wow, we got a mistake. That's something. I'm glad you corrected now. Your birthday is, I got August 8th of 66.
Oh, August 6th of 66.
Oh, boy, that's going to change things. What time is that?
I'm sorry.
What time is it?
9:26 p.m.
I got 8:06 of 66 now. Well, that's good. That changes everything.
Can you do it on the fly like that?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Very, very cool. You rock.
Hold on, please. hold on. I'm having
it's
some...
crazy.
the planets are really causing that.
The detail.
But I'm having... It won't even let me do it for... it won't even let me do it for Boston, Mass. Okay, I've got it now. Okay, so the moon changed hands. A lot of the things in the chart are going to remain the same. Now, what I want to do is I want to try to walk you through this, and the chart that I put up on Facebook is now invalid, so people are going to have to just imagine what we're doing. Now, what I'm going to do mainly is your natal chart and explain to people how these things are done, and we'll go from there, answer any question you want, but there's really a lot of things to go over.
Perfect. Well, I've got a circle on a piece of paper here, so I'm following along with you.
Okay, now what confuses people is they don't have any idea what the signs of the zodiac mean in reference to the rising sign and in reference to the 12 houses. That's where people get confused. So I suggested that Jennifer get out a paper plate or a round piece of paper in case you're doing this at home, even if you're just making sketches. And around the outer part of that circle, just sketch out the signs of the zodiac, you know, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Leo, etc. Even if you don't know the symbols, just keep in mind that that's how the zodiac is perceived, with the 12 signs going around the circle.
Mm-hmm.
Now we put your sun, since you were born in the middle of Leo, and the new moon is tonight. Is it a new moon or full? It is a...
It's new moon.
It's a new moon right on your sun. So this is extremely... This is extremely important that your chart's being revealed to the world. This is very symbolic, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Now, just bear with
me. Awesome. So
we're going to put your sun in the middle of the sign Leo. Now, during the... Now, you notice how that... Leo is one piece of pie. It's like the wheel, the eternal wheel of fortune. It's one of those pieces of pie. Now, during the day, that whole paper plate turns. If you were born at noon, that sun would be at the top in Leo. You would rotate the plate. If you were born at midnight, the sun would be at the bottom in Leo. And if you were born at sunrise, the sun would be on the left-hand side, which is called the East in astrology. That's your rising sign. And every 24 hours, the whole zodiac turns one time because the Earth is in the middle spinning. So it appears that the whole zodiac is moving. And your three main things in your chart is your sun sign, which is about 30 days per month. The moon sign, which is every 2.5 days, it changes from one sign to another, representing your emotions. Your rising sign is what sign is off on the eastern or left-hand side of the chart. So the moment you were born, which is the middle of the evening, the moment you were born, if somebody would have rushed outside and pointed to the east and actually pointed to the constellations, they would have seen the sign of Pisces rising. So that's what it means. 2 hours later would have been Aries rising. 2 hours later would have been Taurus rising. But your sun would still be in Leo. That's what confuses beginners.
Okay.
What I'm going to do for you is what I try real hard some of my beginners are listening. I want them to listen closely. It's very tempting when you're a beginner to try to open up the chart and just like a book, and you think, oh, that's what this means. Well, it is not that easy. And this is much more like me teaching you to do a painting with little strokes, a little bit of red, a little bit of blue, a little bit of red, and don't try to make a big mud pie. And after a while, the painting will start to take shape that's known as the very unique Jennifer Seek.
Awesome.
So the first thing we want to know is, in astrology, there are five personal planets, and there's the rising sign. These are very personal points that move rather quickly. So, the sun is in Leo, and I'm not going to get into the houses yet. And when the sun is in Leo, you've heard a lot about Leos being colorful and buoyant and happy and generous and magnanimous, and they like the center stage and all that. Well, in my book, The Exquisite Zodiac, it really clears up this whole notion of needing center stage. I mean, look at the Leo that got center stage yesterday named A-Rod. He sure got center stage, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
Okay, but what the reason why, and that's what the book's about, is why these things are true, not just these adjectives. The reason Leo needs center stage is because of every sign is a reaction against the sign before it. And the Cancer stage right before you is a very timid stage. Not all of them. We're talking about the archetype here. It's a very sensitive stage. They don't like confrontation. They kind of like to be buffered by their family. Well, the Leo stage is one stage better, if you will, in the sense that it wants to come out and say, hey, this is my jungle. This is my domain. I'll take care of it. So that's why the Leo needs the limelight, is because they get attention and they grow in confidence. The Cancer doesn't want that light on them, you see. Neither does Virgo. And in fact, most signs don't get along real well with the signs next door. They just don't. The book explains that. So by getting this attention, you have two types of Leos. Like Jung talked about, the shadow side and the positive side. The positive side of Leo is they get this attention and they grow in self-confidence. And that's what they donate to the zodiac. The dark side or shadow side of Leo is the Barry Bonds type, the A-Rod type, the Madonna type, where no matter how much attention you give them, it's never enough. So that's one piece of the pie. And we don't know at this point how colorful you are or how bright you shine or how dark, because we need to see the rest of the chart. And that's where people really get fouled up. They over-identify with their sun sign. And there's so much more to you than just that. So we're going to start painting your picture, Jennifer. We know that you've got quite a light bulb. We know you're creative. We know you got the capacity to be a big person. And one of the keys to Leo is that famous scene that famous Leo Robert De Niro did in the movie. You talking to me? You can't be talking to me. That is a Leo trait, and that's the beautiful part of Leo. Because Cancer, the Cancer sign before you, you're not talking to me, are you? You know, and they kind of crumble under the pressure. Leo is like puffed up, and you dare speak to me without respect? So that's the great thing that Leo contributes to the zodiac. We all have a job to do. Now, you can take that too far and become very arrogant, in my opinion, like Barry Bonds breaks all these home run records, nobody even cares. Okay, so let's move on. As you will start to see, Leo is a fiery sign, which means you're dynamic. If anybody's seen your photographs on Facebook, you look like the bright, shining sun, which is what you're ruled by. Leos typically have a roundish face or people with Leo rising. They have thick hair. They usually have a big mane, just like Robert Plant. You know, they're very proud of their lion look. They usually have real big eyes, beautiful eyes, like Natalie Wood is the perfect example of these. The whites are really big in their eyes, just captivating eyes. So we go to your moon next, and the moon tells us about your emotions. And your moon is on the left side, and unfortunately the chart I sent you is going to be a little bit off because I had the wrong date. Your moon is in Aries. And the moon in Aries is the emotions are very direct. You combine the moon of feelings and Aries, which means you've got something on your chest. You're not going to let it sit there much longer. You get it off your chest. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, combine the sun in Leo with the moon in Aries, now you got what's called double fire. Because there are three fire signs. Aries, Leo, Sag. Your sun and moon are in two of them. So that means you're a fiery woman. You want to get things done now. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want a theory. You want people stopping you. Let's go. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like you?
That is how I am. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, even now we can see many things, many more things awaiting in the chart that could change it completely. The rising sign is, well, let me go back to the sun and moon. When you have double fire like that, the plus side is that you're very much a doer. I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going hiking with my backpack, that's it, you go do it. The downside of it, if you don't watch it, is you can be so fiery that you can blow over people like a blowtorch.
The impatience.
You know, you, well, not just patience, zealousness. You just just a vibrancy for life. Well, some people can't handle that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one thing that's your power, but it's also something you have to watch. Or, you know, you don't really like hanging around meek people. It's just not your nature.
That's true.
Now, everything changes because you have the sign of Pisces rising. Again, the Pisces is rising because of the birth time. And when you were born, Pisces was the sign rising. Now, the rising sign is also called your ascendant. The rising sign is how you look like a window, how people see you, and how you see the world. It's not just an image, it's a part of you, but it's kind of like how you see the world. And with Pisces, it's very kind, it's very loving, so is Leo, very loving, and it's very kind and it just lets things happen. And I really like that combination because your real big combination is your sun, moon, and rising. And you've got sun in Leo, moon in Aries, and Pisces rising. And what's so good is Pisces is very sensitive to other people. It makes you psychic. It makes you very reticent about stepping on people's toes. With your sun in Leo and your moon in Aries, you could easily just plow right through like a bull in a china shop. But with that Pisces part of you, that really cools your heels. That shows a lot of spiritual growth. And you are sensitive to other people. So that's a very nice blend. And that's a watery sign. And watery signs give you love and they give you affection. And that blends well with all that fire, do you see?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to go through the other three planets, which are personal. Mercury, Venus, and Mars. So your five personal planets are Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars. Mercury is your mind. It's the way your mental computer operates. And it can only be three places because it always stays close to the sun. So every Leo that ever lived has Mercury in Cancer or Leo or Virgo. It can't extend otherwise. Your Mercury is also found in Leo. And it's also in the fifth house. So that means you're extremely creative. Your mind just gets an idea and it gets big. And you have quite a tendency to to think large. Well, you can't be a coward and be on Blog Talk Radio. You know, I had my own radio show. And let me tell your listeners, this is not easy. I was on every week for 2.5 years back in 82. It took me 2 years to walk in that studio and be comfortable. Mm-hmm. It is not sitting there talking to a piece of metal trying to entertain people.
I actually have three radio shows. So.
Well, there you go. There you
go.
I
have
one
with a group, and then I'm doing one other one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
See, you're built for it. You're made for it. But I want people to realize it's not easy. It is not easy. The television is much harder. Okay, so Mercury in Leo means that your mind is big, it thinks big, it's creative. It really can't stand people with small ideas. Small and timid.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Could I take a place in the corner over here? No, that's not you.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The problem with it, as with any planet, they have a dark side. I see that you are Jungian. They got a shadow side. And the shadow side is sometimes you think too big for your own good.
That's the truth.
But
you're the
type that you would rather think big than small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Venus and Mars is really critical. The Venus and Mars is much more powerful than people think. The Venus being the symbol for the female and Mars for the male. They have a lot to do with your sexuality and also a lot to do with your interpersonal skills. How you want to be treated, how you treat people. This is your yin and your yang. Your Venus is your yin, or your ability to accept people inside. And your yang is your Mars, or your male side. And as Jung put it, with the anima and the animus, all beings have the anima, animus, or the male and the female. Yours are both found in the sign of Cancer. Now let's take that apart. Let's take that apart. And when we take the pieces apart, as we start to put you back together, you're going to start to see a picture. The Venus in Cancer is very nice in the sense that you love to see babies. You love to see happy families. You are not made to ridicule people who are weak. You are very patient and understanding of people with handicaps, people that are slow learners, whatever it is. You're very understanding and very patient and compassionate. Also, the flip side of Venus is you are a little bit timid, you know, a little bit shy letting people in. And that's good because you got all that other boldness, which is so strong, all that fire. Now, somebody else's chart, the Venus in Cancer might not be very good for them. But for you, it's nice. It gives you more water. Water is critical. Water signs are Cancer, Pisces, Scorpio. Those. And by the way, I'm telling people this slowly because I am going to do my entire book on YouTube for free. I'm not going to do every word, but I'm going to paraphrase the whole 180 pages, and it's all about the signs, not much about the planets. It's about the signs, and I will be going through it on my YouTube channel with my name, and I'm going to be teaching from that book so you get a good basis in the 12 signs, and then I'm going to go on and do a complete beginner's course, but it will not be real, real deep. It'll cover the planets and transits, etc., but it'll give good people a good start. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we come back to your Mars. We saw how Venus is a receptive planet, and it's in that wonderful sign of Cancer, which is very tender, and let's go see Grandma and have some muffins, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your Mars is in Cancer, and that's not good. Okay, that's not the best place for Mars. This is very common, Jennifer, so don't worry. What that means is you don't have to worry at all because you got so much other fire in your chart, you can afford a weak Mars and it won't hurt you at all. The reason Mars is in its fall or weaker state in Cancer is Mars is how you move. Do you go for it? Do you go get what you want what do you do? When Mars is in that timid sign of Cancer, you know, you go, well, I'm going to go do this, but I'm not sure that people are going to like me if I do that, and I don't want to hurt anybody. And it's a very timid way of moving. Mm-hmm. So we see that Venus and Mars in Cancer in you gives you more water. It sides up as we build the picture now. It takes the side along with that Pisces rising. On the other mm-hmm. side, you see the sun and moon in Aries and Leo. So what we're starting to see is a very nice balance, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So even though your Mars itself is not in its best place, indicating that you need to be a little more assertive, we don't worry about that at all because we're looking at the whole chart, and the whole chart has got plenty of fire and also mm-hmm. plenty of water. Now, the other mm-hmm. two things you want to see in a chart are air and earth. The air mm-hmm. sign are Gemini, Libra, Aquarius. That's the mind, or how the mind works. And the earth signs, which are Taurus, Capricorn, Virgo. Those are practicality. Now, nobody's perfect with a perfect blend of all things, but you're pretty balanced. I got a lot to go through yet. Okay, so we see in your personal planets, your sun is in Leo, your moon is in Aries. It's very fiery. Your rising sign is Pisces. Smooth things out. Your Mercury's in Leo, you won't even notice that. Very creative mind. Venus and Mars are charming. They're in Cancer, and that has a lot to do with your taste and your aesthetics. That means not only is your home colorful, you go to a Leo's home, and it's colorful with big flowers everywhere and all, but with that Cancer in you, it's got a lot of pillows and blankets
yep.
and soft spots to make
yep.
people feel homey. You ever
yep.
go in a restaurant that's cold, then you go in another restaurant that's very homey and you feel like part of the family? That's owned by a Cancer. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
When you get to the other planets, they're harder to describe because they're not personal. They become more social, part of your sub-generation. They become,
mm-hmm.
They're still having big impacts in your chart, but because they move slower through the zodiac, they're more interpersonal. So I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to spend a lot of time with them. I'm going to jump ahead to some really critical things.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you've got two things in this chart, maybe three. You got two things that really stick out. Number
mm-hmm.
one, all of your planets are below the horizon except Neptune. So on your
mean?
What that means is on your paper plate there, if you
mm-hmm.
were to divide it in half left to right, all your planets are on the bottom
mm-hmm.
except one.
Right.
And the one that's top high in the sky is Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
And Neptune is in Scorpio. And what that does is that makes that what's called a bucket pattern. Like a handle
mm-hmm.
on a bucket, that Neptune becomes the master of this entire chart. Because
mm-hmm.
he's all by himself. And he's very powerful. And what that means is Neptune is very Christ-like. It's very martyr-like. It's very selfless. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have a built-in quote-unquote conflict, but it may not be a conflict if you can work through it. I mean, there's every reason to think that you can. Here's why. Because
mm-hmm.
you've got these very ego-based sun in Leo, moon in Aries, me, me, me. But then you've got the Pisces rising, which does not want the ego, and you got the very powerful Neptune. So what happens with you is when you start to do your natural me, 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 which is good, your Pisces stuff says, no, 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 we can't be ego-based. And you end up in these big, big wars with your ego. Well, I just wrote my last newsletter. It's the last one. It's listed as the current one on my website, called The New Age Martyrs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the New Age people, how we go overboard trying to be like Jesus and hang on the cross and oh, you know, we just do ourselves so much damage. We want to finish last all the time, and people are all too willing to grant us that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you've got is you've, what I see with you, as I would read for you personally, is you've come into this lifetime with some ego needs, but also with some very strong non-ego needs. And what you really need to do is balance the two. What you do not want to do is get in a war. That's what my article is about. You don't chop off ego. I mean, I'm sure if you sat around the campfire with Jesus Christ, he had a lot of stories to tell, and he's probably a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are fully developed humans. We got this image from the Latin Catholic masses that everybody's levitating in the church, you know, with these refined vibrations. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now, in other words, you are very human, and you can be very fiery and very active and buoyant without being arrogant. So you have every reason that you can balance this chart. Okay, the number, so Neptune is really in charge of your chart. And what that means is you are a tremendous channel. Neptune is your doorway to all channeling, to higher intelligence. Very, very intuitive. You and I are very similar. You don't even know how it comes to you, or do you even care? It just comes. That's because of your Neptune. And yours is very deep. So people are fooled by you because they see this lighthearted, bouncy. This is not something fake you're doing. They just see this lighthearted, fun-loving woman, and they don't realize this woman's also very, very deep.
And
yes, it is. Yes, and if we go through time and would give you dates that transiting planets have gone over these points, you would see your whole life did a flip-flop. Okay, now, very important. On the left-hand side, just before sunrise, just before rising, you have Chiron just about rising. About 12 minutes later, Chiron would have been rising on the horizon. Chiron is a new entity to astrologers, discovered in 77. We proclaim in our book that we believe, without a doubt, it's the ruler of Virgo. It is not an asteroid because it is like an asteroid. It resides between Uranus and Saturn. These are all explained in detail on my 12 different videos on YouTube. You can go look at the different subjects, and there's one or two that is completely descriptive of what Chiron really is. Anyhow, your Chiron is really strong because it's rising, and anything, any planet that's found near that rising degree, and all the rising degree is the horizon. Anything that's found just rising or just setting, those planets become very exaggerated. This is how they're interpreted. So you are very much Chiron in Pisces. So now we got another paintbrush going across your canvas, another great big swath of Pisces energy. So we keep seeing all this fire in you, but all this sensitivity, this channeling, this Jungian, this deep psychological person, and this is a major symbol of you being a healer for a long time. Many lifetimes. If I were doing a normal reading for you, I would be doing a lot of comparisons between this chart and your past life charts, and I would also go into your future destiny to see what you're really destined to become. But there's no doubt in my mind, I don't even have to look, you are right on the money, destined to become a healer. Now, Chiron is shaped just like a centaur. The belt that he is in is called the centaurs, half horse, half man. And at first they thought he was the ruler of Sagittarius, but he certainly isn't, even though he looks like one. Well, long story short, Chiron was wounded, and he was unable to heal himself, and he was immortal. And he was shot in the back of his leg with an arrow. He's the son of Saturn. Saturn mm-hmm. is the son of Uranus. So he had to beg Zeus to let him die. He couldn't suffer mm-hmm. forever with his wound. So he is known as the wounded healer.
Right.
And besides him being the wounded healer, he's very prominent in the charts of people who are healers. When this mm-hmm. planet is big, these people just have to heal. As a matter of fact, Chiron is big today in the sky, and that's why you're seeing so many people dropping their jobs wanting to be healers. Because mm-hmm. Chiron is so prominent. It's also the planet that's brought about this whole fanaticism about health care. And it's not going to let go, because it's with Neptune. It's not going to let go until everybody has it. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on since the last 6 years. So with your Chiron in Pisces, it represents your wound. And your
mm-hmm.
wound being in the sign of Pisces is really one, when you were younger, you had little faith in God. And what
mm-hmm.
that means is, from a past lifetime, you came into this lifetime. My hunch is that you've always been extremely spiritual, but you started out in this lifetime talking to God or praying to God, and you felt like you were not getting any answers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing about Chiron is that the answers are all inside the pain. The answers are inside the wound.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, it wasn't God that wasn't listening, it was you.
Mm-hmm.
Now your chart's on fire, and you have seen nothing like what's coming, because every 51 years Chiron goes around the circle, approximately, and your Chiron is at 25, and Chiron at this day today is at 13. So Chiron has 12 more degrees to go, about a year, and it's going to return to its native spot. So when it does, it's going to lift you up. I don't know how else to tell you. Last night, the mantra, the vision that just kept coming to me all night through dreams was, grace is always with us. Grace is always with us. That's what I see with you. You got so much grace coming your way. What you're going to be able to do as your subtle body opens, as your
mm-hmm.
subtle senses open, you're going to be able to relax that natural moon in Aries, which wants to go out and fight.
Right.
That moon in Aries wants to go out and battle for everything. Well, that's your nature. That's okay. But what I'm saying, you're going to start to notice that the more you fight, the more you're going to lose. And the
right.
more you surrender, the more it's just going to come to you.
That's happening now.
Wonderful. That's because it's getting close. And today I added on my website, I stole Molly McCord's statement from her new book, Surrender is for the Courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Surrendering is for the courageous. That's exactly
mm-hmm.
what your chart is coming into. And that's not the Western mind. It's a battle of the bulge. That's not that
mm-hmm.
kind of surrender. That's the kind of surrender you hear about, you know, going with the flow, etc. So we're seeing now that this inner self of yours is very fiery and dynamic, but it's very sensitive, it's very receptive, it's got fightability if it needs it, but you're coming into more and more of the promise of all that Pisces energy, which means you're going to gain more and more and more faith in God and faith in your divine, whatever you want to call it. So I would like to get your response to what I've painted so far.
Oh, absolutely. It's very, very accurate. The first part of my life, I spent a lot of time fighting systems and things that I shouldn't have even been there, but I didn't realize it because of family wounds and things like that. And I've had to really assert myself and become more autonomous and be in the place of who I really authentically am.
Right.
And that has opened up so much opportunity. It's just really crazy. And I have been able to do things that, you know, I really imagined in my dreams, and that is in the process of manifesting in many, many ways. And it's absolutely true that the more I surrender and let go, the more miraculous things happen. And, it absolutely
Well,
fits.
You know what? This is a very good lesson for all of the Leos out there. Leos have a lot of difficulty at work. I'm just going to say it like it is. They have a lot of difficulty in the workplace. And the reason why is Leos survive upon one word, and that word is respect. And if a Leo feels like they're not being respected, there's all hell to pay. And a lot of times it's a drama going on in their own mind. And I even wrote in the book that Leos sometimes think that the world is finite, that there's only so much respect out there. And Leos have to watch that. So if I see my partner, my comrade, getting respect and accolades, that doesn't mean I can't get any. That's a trap that's a trap that Leo must watch. Now, that just shows you, Jennifer, that your sun sign is just a small part of you. There's much more to you. Okay, so we're building this picture. Now I'm looking at this great big red triangle in your chart, which is called a grand trine. And red triangles are symbolic of planets that are really harmonious with each other. This is where you get these marvelous qualities, like Terry Bradshaw, why he could throw the ball so far, like the qualities of Hepburn and the great beauty that she had with her Venus and her Venus and Neptune. One planet gives its best to the other planet, and they symbiotically make each other more powerful. This is where Da Vinci got his brilliance from. When you see really special talents in people that really stick out, like Einstein, you see two planets that are one-third of the way around the circle from each other. And that means they're really harmonious, and it's called an aspect, and they're just feeding the best to each other. So you have this beautiful red triangle going between Neptune and Mars and Venus and your Chiron. So that Mars and Venus means... that means that you got IT. Mars and Venus means you got it. There's just an it about it. There's a charisma that you have. And I would tell you, the kids would naturally just drop everything and just walk over to you because of that beautiful Cancer energy that you have. They just trust you. They'll walk right over to you.
I worked in Montessori school.
Well, you are a very natural at that. Now, this is the red lines and the high harmony that is displayed here are very much indicative of good karma from past lives, things you have developed. So it's a very high degree of sensitivity that you're working on. Now, there's a couple other things that are really major.
Mm-hmm.
You were born... in October of 1965, I've got this all over my website, all over YouTube. In October of 65, Uranus and Pluto were together in the sign of Virgo. And they went back and forth over each other from 60 to 69. And these are two radical planets, i.e. the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all these years later, they've been traveling, and now they're at a right angle to each other. So all these things that were born in the 60s are now coming to trial, i.e. African-American rights, women's rights, Medicare, Medicaid. Everything that happened in the 60s is being questioned Some of it's being dismantled. Voting rights, ridiculous what's going on with them. But this is why they're being tested. Because the promise was made in 65, and when the planets eventually get to a right angle to each other is when the test becomes. We're in the middle of that test, and it won't be done for two more years. Now, you are born with Uranus and Pluto at the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody born in the 60s has this. And what you people, and I have hundreds of clients that have this Uranus next to Pluto, what you guys are like is you're very explosive, but it's in the sign of Virgo. And Virgos are very tame, even repressed energy. So you guys are like sitting on time bombs, wondering when they're going to go off. And what I've noticed in the past 4 years, as these two planets have been aggravated and reawoken, is your generation, your sub-generation, they're all coming to me and they're saying, what have I been behaving for? What for? What did it get
mm-hmm.
me? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure it brought you a lot, but in terms of me being able to be myself, it held me back. And now what's going on with everybody is, it's very complex, I don't want to bore everybody. Now Uranus is in the sign of Aries. And it started a new zodiac. And what's happening right now, if you want to look around and you're going to see people falling off the edge and you're going to see people going skyrocketing, one of the two. What's going on now is are you able to be yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And if you're hiding behind mommy and daddy, forget it. And if you're hiding behind this and so, forget it. And if you're carrying that baggage, you keep carrying that baggage, and you're not willing to dump it, forget it. These people are being
mm-hmm.
hurt, and I mean some of them are in car wrecks. Some of these
mm-hmm.
things are not good. And other people are just skyrocketing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me the people around you, what you're seeing.
A lot of both, actually. I'm seeing
yes.
people who are exactly
yes.
what you're talking about, either really hitting some, you know, real impasses in their life that they feel like they're just bottoming out. And I'm seeing it with clients, too. Or people
yes.
just taking off and totally getting it and nothing
That's
in between.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Now, what you said about the impasse, it's not an impasse. The impasse
mm-hmm.
was given... The impasse was shown to them in January of 2008. That's
mm-hmm.
when it started. Look what happened to our economy. It's the fact
right.
that since 2008, they still keep trying to shove it down. In
mm-hmm.
these periods, they spike, and then they get quiet. Then they spike, then they get quiet.
Right.
And over a month ago, I wrote about July 28th, 29th, 30th, about nuclear things, about nuclear warnings, about what came down with the baseball players. So it's not, these things don't come out of the blue to harm you. These forces, as you know, studying Jung, these forces are the unconscious saying, I want free. Let me out.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
what the planets
yeah.
are saying now is, if, here's what people don't know, if you let go, and if you try, you don't have to do a Rembrandt masterpiece. If you just try, the world will change for you instantly, and the
yep.
planets will help you, and doors will open, and money will come, and all this.
Yep.
But if you hold on and say, oh, what about my pension, and no, I'm not feeling good, and no, my health insurance, and if you use all these reasons to drag your feet, then you're going to need health insurance.
Mm-hmm. No, that's totally true. Yeah,
it really is true. It's really hitting home right now. So in case anybody's listening that's wondering about this, is what I said on my new video, the latest one, you cannot control the fact that your fingers have been pulled out of the 110 and stuck into the 220.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing
mm-hmm.
you can do about it. That's beyond your control. Because you're part of the collective mind. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you think you can control it, good luck, and that's when people have strokes, and that's when people have nervous breakdowns. But the thing is, you are going to have extra energy pouring through you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is to put a bigger bulb on your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
use that extra energy, because that's what non-astrologers don't know. They don't know that that energy is beyond their control.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, what got into you? What's getting into her lately? That's what's getting into her. She's
mm-hmm.
not going to put up with it anymore. So I want to warn people very clearly, like I do in the newsletters, when this energy comes through you, it's a very rebellious energy, it's a midlife crisis type of energy, be very hesitant before you start pointing your fingers. Like the Republicans and Democrats are just so busy pointing their fingers at each other. And
yeah.
start with that finger pointed towards yourself.
Yeah.
What am I doing? What am I doing to block myself? Now, you might have a real problem. You might have a real problem with your husband or wife that you need to deal with. But in most cases, it's your own stuff. And that's why a lot of people go out and get some affair on the side with a woman that's 20 years younger. They think that's their solution. That's not their solution. What they're really
right.
looking for is that younger, playful part of themselves.
Exactly.
Have you seen that with your clients?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of acting out. And you know, I think it's so important to help them figure out what part of themselves isn't getting expressed, exactly what you're talking
gotcha.
About. And when they start to do that, then they don't have to act out or they don't have to act in,
right.
you know, and undermine themselves and their own goals as well. They can, like, hold that part, you know, hold that part.
I like how you put the act out and act in. That's a brilliant phrase. Because they're really the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
What I'm gonna tell people, I've repeated it before. I think people need to hear it. I've done a lot of workshops, but when I do workshops entitled Life Direction, oh my God, they're standing out the door because everybody's
mm-hmm.
just so. You know, it's not easy to give yourself life direction if you're not a really good psychic, a really good tarot reader, or a real good astrologer, which is rare. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But what
mm-hmm.
I found in these life directions, I would put their chart up on the wall with a projector. There'd be 20, 30 people in the room. Here's what I found. About 70% of the people who came to me for life direction, they were not ready to discuss it. The chart would
mm-hmm.
not reveal it. And why? And I'm sure you know the answer.
Why would the chart not reveal it? Probably
yeah.
because they were still experiencing internal resistance. I mean, that they
exactly.
just weren't ready. So,
Exactly. What I call blockages. That's right.
Yeah.
So I would take those people and I would point out where the blockage is, and 90% of the time the blockage is one of their mom or dad is still speaking in their ear and they still got that drama going
yeah,
on.
Exactly.
And I would send them home, and in a couple weeks or a couple months they come back to me and they got a lot of their blockages resolved, and then I can
mm-hmm.
easily work with them to help find their direction. Now the other 30% did fine because they don't have significant blockages, and it's really pretty easy. And people are astounded to find out that what you're supposed to do, quote unquote, what is in your destiny chart, is the thing that you love to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And getting back
mm-hmm.
to your chart is very creative. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
always a, beside all this psychic stuff and this healing stuff, you have a very heavy fifth house. And that means the Leo house is very creative and colorful. You have a very hard-working chart. You have a strong sense of service to other people. And
mm-hmm.
since we're running out of time, I want to give you a little bit of a look into what you were saying was your return chart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your return chart is one of the charts people come to me commonly for. Every year, the sun on your birthday returns to the exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a Polaroid, if I take a picture of where your planets, your birthday is actually today at 5:57 in the morning. That was exactly lined up with the stars. And if I take a look, I'm looking at the planets where they were at that moment. This clearly tells me what your life is about your next year. Saturn is very heavily placed in your home life. And what that means is you are really at a fulcrum. You are really ready. I don't want to get personal at all, but you are really ready in all of your relationships, especially close ones. You're not fooling around anymore. You've got your left hand. You've got your left hand on you, and you've got your right hand on them, and you are saying, if this is not fulfilling for me, I don't want it. And I'm not going to fool around with this anymore. I'm going to have a successful relationship, or I will do without thank you.
That's exactly accurate.
Well, you're ready. Your chart says you're ready. You have the sun and moon rising in the chart, which is really good. And what that means, that's really in conjunction with this Uranus and Aries that I've been writing about. That means I'm going to do my thing. I really suggest people go watch my latest video on YouTube. It's called Uranian Stages of Life. 24 minutes long. But that's what you're doing now. It's, I'm going to be myself, and I'd love to have a relationship, but by God, I'm going to be myself while I'm in it. I'm not going to lose myself in it. And with that strong Neptune of yours, you have to watch out, because even with all that fire you got a tendency to hang on the cross for people.
Yeah, I do. That's true.
That's the Neptune. And that's where your chart says enough of that now. So we see, by having a pretty nice picture of you by now, you have all the tools there to blend it. It's all there to blend. And you being on the radio and being outspoken and being a teacher and being the healer, you're definitely on the right track. There's no doubt.
Awesome.
And I left a couple minutes in case you wanted to ask some questions.
Well, we've got 2 minutes. So, but what I would say is that when my life really started taking off is when I figured out that I was supposed to be an entrepreneur. I was not supposed to have a 9-to-5 job. And all of those difficulties that I had in my earlier life went away as I started to get clearer about what I was supposed to do. And that's just steadily grown. And that's been
Was that in May of 2010?
I would say that started about 5 years ago, but really took off. Yeah, about, let's see, I graduated from my graduate program in 2008. About 2010 is when I really started
Exactly. It was May 27th, 2010. Because that's the date the Uranus entered a new zodiac.
Fascinating. Well, we just have like one more minute, so I want to make sure that people know where to get a hold of you, Rick, for your work.
Yes, my website is starself.com, like the word myself or yourself, starself.com, and it tells all about my readings and all that. And I write for OM Times Magazine at least once a month. I send out a free newsletter if you'd like to write to me and just put the word newsletter, and I'll capture your email and include you in that. I have archives of about 80 or 90 different newsletters. But I'm all around. My office is in the Pittsburgh area. And I hope today was good, because people need to get an idea how a chart's done.
It was wonderful. Thanks so much for my birthday reading. It was right on target. And thanks so much for being on Inner Voice, Rick. Have a great
Happy
evening.
Birthday to you.
Thank you very much. Take good care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, create magic. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye now.